Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, good last September weekend and happy September fall weekend to you. And thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show with Cardle and Woolley on Austin's Talk 1370, The Right Choice, and Houston's KSEV 700, The Voice of Texas. I'm Jim Cardle. We've got Texas radio legend Lynn Woolley joining us as always. Lynn, good to see you today. And don't forget to check us out at TexasInsider.org and on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider, because as we like to say, you're either an insider or you're not. Just check us out at Facebook and Twitter, Texas Insider. And boy, Lynn Woolley, what a condensation of the election and of the year, of everything that we've been through prior to this point, coming up here to the last 40 days. We've got a debate coming up on Tuesday night, the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl of the election here, with probably a record number of Americans tuning in Tuesday night, as Chris Wallace is going to be the host. We'll talk about that a little bit. We've got the Louisville violence and lawlessness and debates, and I know we got to keep that first and foremost on the talk show today, because it's probably first and foremost with most Americans, and on certainly the soccer moms or the suburban moms and grandmas and grandpas worrying about their safety in their own neighborhood. This is just fascinating to see these policemen getting cracked over the head with skateboards, and to see another series of downtown buildings just be absolutely demolished and savaged. And facts are coming out about how these rioters, these peaceful protesters, aren't really peaceful protesters. They are organized. They have battalions. They move in coordination. They are dangerous. And then also as well, we've got Greg Abbott relaxing the virus rules here in Texas. That's probably something we'll get into. We got Christy Craddock, the new chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, going to be joining us after the news at the bottom of the hour, because even the Texas government's starting to open up, folks. The Railroad Commission, I think, is going to be the first agency to be going back to work officially. They had a meeting and implemented a policy for that. And then finally, of course, we've got the election coming up and everybody focusing on the Supreme Court nomination later. I want to say later this afternoon, although it's going to be Saturday is when it's going to be for the Houston folks listening. But we've got the epitome of all issues, the Supreme Court nomination, probably of Amy Coney Barrett, and the whole concept of Catholicism is going to be front and center again, as Joe Biden on the one hand is trying to establish himself as a good guy and Joe Sixpack and not Donald Trump. And part of that is his strong Catholic faith, even though I saw in the paper this week that he went up to take communion and a priest denied him the elements because of his position on abortion. But Joe Biden's trying to establish that he's a strong Catholic. But yet at the same time, are the Democrats and the critics, Lynn, going to be able to get away with criticizing Amy Coney Barrett as Dianne Feinstein has done with saying your faith is strong within you, and that's a concern for me?
Yeah, well, why wouldn't they? They have a few people on their side, like NBC, ABC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC,
which nobody
CNN,
trusts and everybody despises.
And the Associated Press. So yeah, they will be able to get away with it. The only thing they have on her is that she's a strong Christian person and a strong practicing Catholic, which Joe Biden claims to be, but really isn't. So that's what they have against her.
What they're really upset about, of course, is her conservative outlook on the Constitution. But keep going.
Well, it's all about Roe v. Wade.
They're going to couch it and trying to divert us into other factors that aren't important.
Let me tell you something. I've just about had it up to my yin yang here with all of these these things that are being said about Ginsburg.
Uh-huh.
May I read one? This is out of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
And talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because then I want to compare her to Amy Coney Barrett. Ginsburg's unrelenting drive, persistence, and patience should serve as an inspiration to all taking up the fight for justice and equality today.
What's wrong with that?
I call BS on that.
You do?
Look, how many millions of young babies, most of them black,
well, that's a good
because
point.
Of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, will never have a chance for any kind of justice. Before we put a halo in this woman's head, I'd like to know if she just met St. Peter or if she just met the other guy a little bit lower in the echelon of the afterlife.
I did see the other day there's more babies aborted in New York City than black babies born in New York City than aborted.
More aborted than black?
More aborted than
born is what we're trying to say here. That's a tough one to get. Right, but it's absolutely correct. This woman was a champion for the killing of babies. She was a eugenics supporter. Eugenics is the whole process of weeding out people that you don't want in society.
Through birth control
and through abortion. Yeah, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood. You talk about something triggering people. You wear a MAGA hat and it triggers the left. If I see a Planned Parenthood sign, I'm triggered. And yeah, I want to go burn the thing down, but I'm a conservative and I don't do that.
So you're saying this really is about abortion, the Catholicism, the Catholic faith. I even heard from a friend in Laredo today or this week where the Laredo Archdiocese, and for those of you who don't know too much about the Catholic Church, I've had to come to learn about it in the last 5 years, but it's not a multi-level marketing scheme, but it's tiered like that. And you've got the Vatican over in Europe, and then in every country and every state, there's subdivisions. In Austin, a lot of people don't know, the beautiful church down at 9th and Brazos is the archdiocese. The one down in Laredo, though, where they had that tremendous rally, the Trump rally the other day, came out in their newspaper, as has never been done before, a full-page position statement on the last page of their monthly newspaper saying you cannot vote Democrat if you're a Catholic because the Catholics are really coming out, is my point.
Well, I'll tell you, you're talking about St. Mary's Cathedral, which I have always said next to the state capitol is probably
Austin.
The most beautiful building in Austin, Texas. Well, the Texas Insider building is pretty cool.
But you're saying this is about abortion,
of course,
really.
It's about abortion. But
nobody's talking about that.
But look at what else it's about, Jim. What is the branch of government that the liberals turn to when they don't win at the ballot box?
Well, they never even use the ballot box, hardly. It's always the courts.
Yeah, and by the way, some of the Trump ballots were found in a ditch in Virginia. We'll get to that.
Yes.
And the Associated Press is trying to cover it up. But look, the Democrats believe that if they can control the judiciary, which is a branch of Congress that is not supposed to be political, only the legislative branch.
Certainly
and
not
the
to make laws.
And Roe v. Wade is a judicial made law, therefore it is patently unconstitutional.
And the Democrats are using it.
The question is, if Amy Coney Barrett is nominated by Trump, and if you're listening on KSEV, you know that for sure by now. Mm-hmm. But if she is, and she were to be the deciding vote to abolish Roe v. Wade, I still don't think she would do it.
We'll have to talk about that after this short commercial break. Boy, you got me thinking what your background on that is. Right here on Talk 1370 and KSEV 710 in Houston, the Texas Insider Show with Cardle and Woolley, folks.
700.
I'm sorry, we'll be right back after this short break.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk 1370, the right choice. Lynn Woolley, Jim Cardle. It's the Texas Insider Show. WBDaily.com is my website. Jim's is TexasInsider.org. And I'll tell you what, right now, Jim, there's a little situation developing with Joe Biden. And obviously, you're not going to see it on CNN or in the New York Times. But Trump has come out with his Supreme Court nomination list. Amy Coney Barrett was on it. So was this other lady.
This is a great point.
That would have been a great Supreme Court nominee as well.
Lagoa from Florida.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to talk about here. Number one is, let me just ask you the question. Why hasn't Joe Biden wanted to talk about the Supreme Court? Because on Monday, Democrats and Republicans were arguing on the Senate floor about the whole situation of replacing Ginsburg. The cables cut away to see what Biden was going to say about it, but he said, let's don't change the subject. I don't know what the subject was. I guess the subject was how bad Donald Trump is. Why won't Joe Biden tell us his list of potential nominees?
Because he can't afford to have it be looked into, number one, as being so un-American. The Republicans would attack it for his nominees being along the lines of making law, like we were just talking about a second ago, as opposed to interpreting law. And because, most importantly, he would lose he's liable to have some moderates on there, and he's going to lose the far less commie sympathizers that make up Black Lives Matter, who they all think is going to get him over the goal line. That's
all right,
the real
answer. Wait, hold on. One thing we do know about Joe Biden's nominee, if this had happened, say, 6 months from now, and Biden had been president, we know that it would have been an African-American female. He's already said that. It will
so
be an
he's a racist.
People. So that leaves out Eric Holder. Well, yeah, that's the very definition of the word. But it leaves out Eric Holder, but it does not leave out Loretta Lynch. And it may not leave out Susan Rice. It would eliminate Hillary Clinton, but she's too old. They want somebody 12, you know, so they'll have somebody liberal forever. But the whole reason that he can't is it would help Donald Trump.
Yep.
While Donald Trump putting out a list of conservatives, men and women of all races, actually helped him win the presidency.
Do you think, Lynn, he's going to be able, because we got the debate coming up Tuesday night, and Chris Wallace they've announced there's going to be six topics: the Trump and the Biden records, the Supreme Court, race and violence in our cities are just some of them.
That's
the
a big one.
Integrity of the election. But people don't remember that Joe Biden was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee when Robert Bork got turned out 30 years ago. He was chairman of the Judiciary Committee when they had that, what now Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, a black man, a great jurist, he called it a high-tech lynching of a black nominee, that they tried to kill his nomination because he deigned to think for himself. And this is the amazing thing. You're asking a very valid question, because here Joe Biden's asked to respond and engage with the most important and potentially impactful differentiation between him and Donald Trump. And what does he do? He's a cardboard figure of a candidate right now, like we're seeing in the football and the baseball stadiums. He is not engaging. He's not there. Their campaign's not knocking on doors across the country right now. They're not having any campaign events. And yet here in the most important question of the day. I think it's just unfathomable that he would not respond and that he's dodging questions.
Well, certainly he is. But look, you ask Joe Biden something like, say, Joe, what's the most famous line in the Declaration of Independence? And Joe will say, oh, it's all men and some other people are created some way. You know the thing.
Yes.
You know the thing.
Yep.
He tried to do the Pledge of Allegiance last week.
And, of course,
the media covered up for him and said he was not doing the Pledge of Allegiance, but he was doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hey,
he couldn't remember it.
One other thing this week, did you see that Joe Biden actually had to say that he was not a socialist this week? He is going backwards, man. I'm telling you.
Wait a minute. That's alienating his base.
And we've got some posts up on the Texas Insider Facebook page this week that show how polls. We've always said, Lynn, don't mind and don't pay attention to polls until come October. Well, mm-hmm. We're getting there. Right now, pollsters say that crime and lawlessness is important to most Americans. There was a poll this week that came out that said 60% of Democrats think other people lie when they're responding to polls. 67% of independents think other people lie when they're responding to polls. And 70% of Republicans think other people lie when responding to polls. That means to me that everybody is acknowledging they lie in the polls. And Joe Biden's got to know that he's fallen backwards. Mm-hmm. But yet this would be the perfect example. And he's passing on it.
Well, he is.
And it's unimaginable.
Here's the thing about what's going on.
What is he hiding is my point. It begs the question, what is he hiding?
Loretta Lynch as a nominee.
Which is your question.
Yeah, well, right. I think that's what it is. You put somebody, remember her, Snakes on a Plane with Bill Clinton on the tarmac at Sky Harbor out in Phoenix?
Yep.
And they were talking about, obviously, Hillary's
covering up
of her,
all the Russia,
her
Russia.
Server. And all that, and they lied to the public, and because I know when Bill Clinton's lying, it's when he's saying something he's lying. I mean, mm-hmm. Bob Kerry, I think he was from Nebraska, wasn't he? A Democrat senator said of Bill Clinton, he's an especially good liar, and that's exactly what's going on here. But there's a couple of things about Amy Coney Barrett. Number one, she's an originalist, and I know you don't like the word, but it refers to somebody that actually studies the Constitution, believes it, and takes it at face value, not some living Al Gore-like document. The second thing
that's to
good.
Be interpreted yeah. according to the modern.
Yeah,
culture.
I don't think it should be interpreted. In fact, I don't think the Constitution is written in legalese in any particular way.
Right.
I mean, it's very easy to figure out what most of it says.
And it's gotten us this far successfully, yeah. for heaven's sake.
But it's gotten us Roe v. Wade, and it's gotten us birthright citizenship, neither one of which are even remotely in the Constitution. So here's what I'm thinking. My big disappointment in Amy Coney Barrett mm-hmm. is that she's a lawyer. I would love to have seen Trump. No, hold on. You can take me to the woodshed on this,
okay.
but let me make my point. The Supreme Court does not have to be lawyers. There doesn't have to be one single freaking lawyer on the Supreme Court of the United States. There's only two requirements.
What are
you don't
they?
Even have to be an American citizen.
Really?
Well, you have to be appointed by the president, approved by the Senate. That's it. So let me ask you, is it possible, because I think I'm somewhat of a minor constitutional scholar, I certainly know that birthright citizenship is not approved under the Constitution, and yet all of our big-shot lawyers at left-wing judges say that it is.
And the predominance of the Senate is attorneys.
But you ask me, who would make a really, really good Supreme Court justice who is not a lawyer? And my first thought, he's too old now, but my first thought is Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
He would make an amazing Supreme Court justice.
Well, I see where you're going. I mean, that's not a bad thought, but with the fact that, you know, what kind of people do we want in our legislature to make laws? Well, you want people who have common sense. You want people who have experience in business. You want people from you want a broad spectrum. So maybe mm-hmm. I'll agree with you on the broad spectrum thing. But when you're talking about court cases and you're having to interpret all the legalese and so on and so forth, although it might be, I kind of like
point.
Where you're going.
It might be
a fresh breath of air.
I don't like the legalese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's illegal to cross the street at noon on Saturday, then you make a law and says it shall hereafter be
now
illegal
you're talking,
to cross the street on Saturday.
You're raising a very good point, because in this day and age, and I think this is what's driving a lot of Americans, why in God's name do we have to debate amongst ourselves whether destruction by Black Lives Matter is a crime or not? Why do we have to argue whether coming across the border illegally or it's a law?
Exactly. And here's the thing about that. And I'm glad you brought it up because it's a great point. The Constitution does, in the First Amendment, give the right to peaceable protesting, and therefore it's why you see on CNN and Ms. NBC or micro-socialist NBC.
And you said peaceable.
Peaceable, mm-hmm. The whole thing. So you've got this this real famous screen graphic on CNN of fires going on in the background and this reporter doing a stand-up. Obviously, cars are on fire, buildings are on fire, and the graphic says, fiery, but mostly peaceful protests going on in, I think it was Kenosha.
Yeah.
Now you've got Louisville.
Yep.
I was there a week. I know how to say Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great town, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you've never been there, the baseball bat factory is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a spaghetti
Louisville
place.
Louisville Slugger.
Louisville Slugger is a spaghetti place if it's still open. It's just amazing downtown. But these people are going out there, and what they are essentially saying is, you do things our way or we will burn down the country.
And I'm telling you, folks, the polls are saying, just seeing it in the streets, the American public is sick and tired of violence. Even the African-American population are wondering why we're defunding police. Austin is getting a lot of national attention, embarrassingly so, for defunding the police. The idea that we would defund police and think that there's going to be somebody there to respond to our concerns when we're in a time of need. How is this happening in America right now? It's a real concern.
It's happening in America because we have Democrat governors and Democrat mayors in places like, and I hate to say it, Austin, because I love this town, as you know. I think it's the most beautiful city in Texas and one of the most beautiful in the United States. But Steve Adler is a loon when it comes to the law. He doesn't understand it.
And you're saying they're Democrats. I don't know. Their actions
they're mostly Democrats.
Not American.
Oh, absolutely not American. All right, we got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, Jim will talk to Railroad Commissioner Christy Craddock, daughter of
Tom Craddock,
who was Speaker of the House for a long time out of the Lubbock area, I believe, or
Midland,
Odessa area. That's right. All right, so we'll do that. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-LIVE. I'm Lynn Woolley. My website is wbdaily.com. Jim Cardle's at texasinsider.org. And we're back in just a moment.
Welcome back, folks, for the second half of this week's Texas Insider Show. Appreciate you joining us and happy weekend to you. As advertised, I'm going to just jump right into it. We have one of Texas's hardest working statewide elected officials, Railroad Commissioner Christy Craddock, who, congratulations, chairman now of the Railroad Commission, Chairman Christy Craddock. We appreciate you joining us and giving us a little update on how the state government is reacting and been adjusting to all this coronavirus stuff. How you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be reelected. I think it's my third time to be chairman, and I want to commend the outgoing chair for the short term. Wayne Christian did a great job getting us through coronavirus in this interesting last 6 months we've had. And, and you know, we've been prioritizing some things like well plugging that we've hit our goals for, and flaring, which Wayne has had a group that has been focused on flaring. And so that those issues will continue as we go forward as an agency to look at those, at that issue as well. But we've had an interesting 6 months. And so I think the big news for us is we have a reentry plan that will start really opening completely back up starting Monday, coming Monday.
Let me ask you about that before you get too started, or at least make a comment, because word on the street is that the Texas Railroad Commission, of all the state agencies here in our state capital, you all are either the first or one of the first to get back. A lot of folks won't even know. For instance, our capital has essentially been shut down. There's no legislative staff going in. There's remote working going on all over the nation, but for a city like Austin with state government, tell us how y'all been getting through this. It's got to have been a phenomenal adjustment.
Well, I want to commend our staff first and foremost because they figured it out right as spring break started. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody was mandated to quote, shut down, whatever that meant. But the reality is we haven't as an agency shut down.
Really?
Our outlying agency people, so people out in Midland and Pampa and Kilgore and across the state, has been doing inspections. In fact, we're more efficient than we ever have been as far as doing inspections and getting permits out the door. And we've had essential staff working in Austin. So we're going to 25% on by Monday, but we've had about 18% of our people have continued to work here in Austin. You know, our mail office has been open. We're now doing more and more by computer. You and I've talked a lot about our IT upgrades, and I will say,
ma'am,
the piece that we've been able to do so far, and we're in the middle of continuing that process of getting off the mainframe Fortran process, but but everything that we do that we've done has allowed us to continue to keep our boots on the ground and allow people to file online. And so we have been very vibrant as an agency, and we've been doing our conferences by Zoom. And, you know, we had probably one of the biggest Zoom calls in the state was 29,000 people in our proration hearing that we had back in April. So,
oh my gosh, 29,000 people.
29,000 people
this
across
is just
the world.
Phenomenal. How, so instead of coming down to your office right north of the Capitol from the state of Texas, particularly from the central Texas, you had people from all over the world. Unbelievable.
All over the world. And so we'd like to know what's going on in South Korea. That we were the second most watched country for us was South Korea.
Interesting.
But every state but Hawaii watched us at that point. And so I think it tells you how important the Railroad Commission is, and what we really do does affect the world. And so we've had a real goal to make sure we're, you know, open for business and very responsive. And so our people are ready to get back to whatever the new normal is and get back in the office more on a full-time basis. And so we're starting that process, and we're glad to do that. I think our agency's never shut down, but is definitely ready to go back to work full-time.
And you said, I want to make sure we get the word out. You said the first step here is back to 25%, I guess, or thereabouts. Is that what you said?
That's correct. 25%, although people who go to our library, remember we have a hard copy library, we've been taking those people in by appointment since the summer. So we really only have paused as far as what we've done, bringing people in full-time just for a small time period. But really we've been at work, and that's been important. That continues to be important. This industry is too important to have stopped. And so I appreciate our staff really trying to figure it out and being very nimble. And again, we're in the middle of an IT upgrade that hopefully will make us more efficient, more transparent going forward too.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we're visiting with Railroad Commission of Texas member Christy Craddock, who's just been earlier this week reelected to be chairman by her peers over there, talking about some of the nuances, so to speak, of handling the coronavirus shutdown. If you want to learn more about the Railroad Commission, go to rrc.state.tx.us, or just on Christy, your website and your Facebook and Twitter is christycraddock.com. Let's keep talking about this. I do want to get into some of the politics, perhaps, but you've been elected chairman and have expertise, done it before. The legislative session's coming up here in January, even though we're all focused on the election. We do have a legislative session that I think will take place, hopefully without too much trouble or remoteness. What's the latest? Are y'all thinking about the session? Tell us what's coming down the pike maybe in January.
Well, I think legislative session's coming whether we want them to come back or not. I always joke we like it when they're gone, but it's okay when they come too.
Yes.
Look, I think the focus obviously this year will be a lot on the budget because we're in a look, the state and the country is having some real challenges, and the budget's the real focus. And when we started the year, the Railroad Commission was regulating 35% of the state's economy in the oil and gas world.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, okay, hold on. 35%, I guess that's jobs related. It's not just an oil rig out in the West Texas. No, it's not.
It's jobs.
But that's incredible.
It's 35% of the state's economy is oil and gas based.
Damn.
At the beginning of the year.
Okay.
That's a big chunk of the state's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, so there's obviously been a little bit of a downturn because of oil and gas and what's happened with Saudi Arabia and Russia. And I'll give it to our president for trying to help this industry, as well as mm-hmm. a lot of other companies trying to make sure they stay afloat. But there's some real challenges today, mm-hmm. and that affects not just those companies' budget, but obviously affects the state's budget and our budget as an agency. We are fee-based as an agency, and so when we're not getting a drilling permit fee in, for instance, and our drilling permit numbers are off 70%, 70. It's
wow.
huge. That affects our budget. And so we've just put in, like every other agency has to do this week, put in our request for our budget for the next year. And I think mm-hmm. this will be a huge budget session going forward, obviously trying to pay for the priorities that the legislature sees, but also keeping smaller agencies that are really important like us afloat, and making sure we've got consistent dollars across the board has been a real challenge for us. And that's our request, again, really is to continue to have a consistent budget. And look, we've taken what the governor asked for back in the summertime, which was a 5% budget cut.
Y'all took the 5% reduction. Good for you.
We did, and
yeah.
and we found cost savings, obviously, and we'll continue to run it like a business. And so that means we've quit hiring people. We've quit buying trucks. We've quit doing things that every other business in the country stopped doing too.
And I got to go back and interrupt you. Sorry to interrupt you, but you mentioned fee-based. A lot of people don't realize, and explain this a little more. A state agency gets the predominance of its funding from the industry itself is what you're talking about, correct?
That's correct.
This is phenomenal.
We do. And that started in 2010, 2011, which, you know, at that point, oil was $100 a barrel, and we were drilling 25,000 wells a year in the state. And today, oil's holding at 40, we hope,
mm-hmm.
Which isn't a bad place. 50 would be better, but 40 is not bad.
Okay.
And, you know, we're issuing, say, 10 to 13,000 drilling permits a year. And that's not a bad – that doesn't mean our production numbers are necessarily down. It means industry's gotten more innovative and more efficient in what they're doing when they come get a drilling permit. So, for instance, in 2013-14, we issued 25,000 drilling permits that particular year.
Okay.
But industry got more efficient, and today one drilling permit would have been five.
Gotcha.
5 years ago.
Gotcha.
That's smart. That's a better thing for them. It just means our budget has to be more nimble and figure out how we make sure we have good people, because that's a real challenge. When you
mm-hmm.
everybody knows our biggest challenge, I think, for anybody
always
is finding
people.
And keeping good people,
yeah.
right? And so we don't want to lose good people. But we also are in the middle of an IT upgrade. I mentioned it a couple of times because it's a priority for us at the agency. We are on a mainframe with Fortran-based technology, and we got additional budget dollars this last cycle to start transitioning off that mainframe.
Okay,
and in
Chris,
doing so for us, that's a long-term project.
Yeah.
So we want to continue that.
Okay, Commissioner Christy Craddock, now Chairman of the Railroad Commission. Commissioner Christy Craddock, we got 1 minute left. Commissioner, I got to ask you, I saw California earlier this week, either the governor decreed or the legislature passed something along the lines that California will make gas-powered cars illegal by 2035. We got the Biden-Harris or the Harris-Biden, depending on who's talking given day. They're saying they want to do away with the oil and gas industry, period. What's your thinking on that real quick?
I think anybody who's looking to vote ought to be looking at the energy industry and looking at what we've done job-wise, and know that the Democrats do not like the energy industry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's a job creator across the country and across the world, but I would be putting my vote personally as a Republican with the Republican ticket. We don't want AOC being in charge or the governor of California. This is not common sense policies. This state has been the leader and will continue to be the leader with good conservative policies about oil and gas and energy. That's what you need to look at.
Thanks to people like you, Christy Craddick. We got to take a commercial break, but folks, check out Christy Craddick at ChristyCraddick.com or Facebook and Twitter, Christy Craddick. Commissioner and Chairman, congratulations. We look forward to visiting with you again.
Thanks for having me. Have a great week.
You too.
Talk 1370 KJCE, Lynn Woolley here, Jim Cardle to my right. Our call-in numbers, if you'd like to give us a shot and be with us, we are live in Austin if it's Saturday. If it's Sunday, then you're hearing us on the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV. Our call-in number, if you're in Austin and it's Saturday, is 512-643-5483. I'll do that again slowly, 512-643-5483. Also 512-643-LIVE.
LIVE.
So here's the question. What will the Democrats do as we approach the election, and what will they do if they win the election? We already know that in the state of Virginia, this is out of Harrisburg, 9 mailed-in military ballots had been discarded by the local election office in a swing county. 9 mailed-in military ballots, essentially found in a ditch, mm-hmm. every single one of them for Donald Trump. The Associated Press has a huge story on it in the Daily Rag today. And the Associated Press says, oh, we haven't investigated this yet. This is a small number of votes. There's nothing to see here. Now, if that were reversed, the AP would be in some kind of an apoplectic fit.
Can I make a comment
here? Sure.
Lynn? Because at the top of the Texas Insider Facebook page right now, we've got a little snippet. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, thank goodness for him being on top of this. He arrested 4 Gregg County commissioners down in South Texas the other day, charged them with 134 felony charges in the 218 Democrat primary down there, where it was between 2 Democrats, an incumbent, and a challenger. The challenger beat the incumbent by 19% on election day. They go to counting the absentee ballots, and sure enough, the incumbent wins by 5 votes. It's happened before. It happens all the time. It's going to be happening this time. There is reason for Americans to be concerned about this horrible, just the fact that, again, Lynn, if we weren't seeing this stuff with our own eyes, we would not believe it. The Democrats' move to the massive absentee ballot effort is nothing more than a blatant, and yes, it's hard to believe, but we need to get real and start believing it. They're telling us how they're going to steal this election, quote unquote, win this election. It's happened here in Texas. It's happened in New Jersey, a famous case a couple weeks ago. Sorry to take up so much of your point.
No, you're absolutely right. Our friends down at WOAI in San Antonio, I think it's 5 or 6 years ago now, did a big investigative report on some voter fraud there. Earlier this year and late last year in Dallas, down in the Oak Cliff section, there were people stealing ballots and changing them and sending them in. It was a big deal. The Dallas Morning News, to their credit, was a left-wing paper, but they actually covered it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Al Franken was elected senator of the United States when the Democrats were able to find some absentee ballots hidden away in a car trunk.
No. Let me mention about that, because this was a election for a U.S. Senate seat in the state of Minnesota about mm-hmm. 12 years ago. The mayor of St. Paul, Norm Coleman, was the incumbent. The actor Al Franken and Saturday Night Live comedian was the Democrat challenger. Norm Coleman wins the election by over 2,000 votes. It's within the 1% margin, so he can call for a recount. I don't know how this was allowed to happen. The first recount gets it from 1,500 vote margin for Norm Coleman down to 750. That's not enough. They go for another recount. Somehow it's allowed by a judge. They get it down to 250 vote margin for the incumbent, Norm Coleman. Then they still get a judge to facilitate another recount of finding more ballots is what they're doing. They come up with a process to find out the number they need to go get, and they go get it, and they absolutely stole a Senate.
And have you ever noticed, Mr. Cardle, that when we have all these recounts, the Democrat always comes out with more votes?
Always.
The conservative, the Republican, never comes out with more votes.
But so, that's just a coincidence, so I'm sure.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Sure, of course. Now, let me give you some of the things that I think they will do if the Democrats win right now. Remember, Harry Reid got this started when he killed the filibuster in the Senate for judicial picks except for the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Then to get Gorsuch and Kavanaugh through, Mitch McConnell killed it for the Supreme Court. But yep, it still exists for everything else.
It's the Democrats. Oh, and Mitch McConnell said at the time, you mm-hmm. will rue, don't do
will,
this, don't do
this.
You will rule the rue this day because it's going to destroy our process.
And now there's a whole lot of ruin going on out there. But let me say this. There are so many things the Democrats can do that will put people like you, we will become outsiders forever.
Oh, you mean me, an average American?
Yeah. Average Americans. Here's hard-working, number one. They will pack the courts. And how will they do that? Well, since if you count Justice Roberts, who is not my favorite justice by a long shot, I think he shouldn't be on the court. I think he disqualified himself with some idiotic rulings. But he's most of the time Republican. So that will give them six, but they will have five votes for the Constitution, for originalism, even if Roberts goes over to the Democratic side, which I fully expect him to go full-blown liberal after the election.
And you and I differ on that a little
bit. I know
we'll
do, but I've just watched him on Obamacare where he legislated from the bench and I didn't like
okay.
it. All right, now, so they can do that. Suppose they, instead of a 9-person Supreme Court, they make it a 15-person Supreme Court.
And this is what's talked about as
packing
the court.
The court.
They increase
Biden
the
is
number.
President, so all the people they will put in there will be left-wing liberals.
Because they're confirmed by the left-wing Senate.
Yes, and he's already talked about the majority of them would be African-American women, and I have nothing against African-American women. Candace Owens.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd put her on the Supreme Court, I'd be tickled, but he's not going to be any...
Star Parker.
Yeah, or Star Parker or somebody like that.
But they're not racist, no.
No. The Democrats, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course not. It's just all that they live and breathe. Now, let me comment on this one, Jim. The next thing they can do is pack the Senate.
Yep.
Now, how do you suppose they can do that?
Well, they give D.C. statehood,
yep.
they which the founders rightfully set up, is that you don't want the principality around which the Capitol's sitting, voting itself benefits, which would be the case. They add in Puerto Rico. There's four.
There's four liberal new senators right there.
So instead of 50 states having two senators equaling 100 for you left coasters, 50 plus two is 100. And you got two more states. Now you've got four more senators and they're going to be Democrat. And now it's an insurmountable. We would never have conservative, Republican, red-blooded American decisions hardly ever at that point.
Well, all right, and you say they pack the Senate.
Who
now.
Knows what would happen?
What about the House? How can they pack the House?
And that's redistricting coming up, all these seats.
Well, look.
Going to be redrawn. And
that's right, but here's how they pack the House.
Okay.
Right now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the insider and know all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that you get a member of Congress for about 800,000 population of people.
792,000.
All right, so pretty close.
Yeah.
What if they lowered that to, say, 400,000 or 500,000? You know who would
get
the...
Oh, for Pete's sakes.
You know who would get the most new representatives?
Right now, there's 435 members in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. 435. You're saying they're going to increase that. So they draw the districts to get more Democrats.
No, they do, but they lower the population. So instead of, say, 800,000, where it is now, you get a member of Congress for every, let's say, 450,000.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get 15, 20 new members of Congress from California. And how do you suppose they're going to vote?
In New York.
In New York, tell you, in Illinois.
I tell you what else we'd get, Lynn, with this Biden-Sanders AOC did, and I got to mention this. Did you see who the Democrats trotted out this week to respond and make their points for the Supreme Court justice? Which again, I cannot believe Joe Biden. This ought to be the epitome of a gift horse in the mouth, an issue so pure and crystallized for a candidate to be able to respond to. And Joe Biden's in the basement. They didn't trot out Nancy Pelosi. They darn sure didn't have Joe Biden respond. As a matter of fact, he dodged responding.
Who was it? Dianne Feinstein?
That was not a bad thought. I'm sure she's going to be out there because she's the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. They trotted out Chuck Schumer and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Sandy Cortez.
Is controlling things. It just clicked in my mind. There's no reason. She's a freshman Democrat, and Chuck Schumer is afraid she's going to challenge him for the U.S. Senate seat in New York.
Well, very likely may, but she could end up being Speaker of the House. There's already moves. Pelosi is not popular, I don't think. But here's a statement that's crazy. Senator Mazie Hirono.
From Hawaii.
Democrat of Hawaii.
Socialist.
And a left-wing crap weasel, mm-hmm. which is...
Lynn.
Oh, that's a... everybody uses that. That's okay. Michelle Malkin. I got that from Michelle Malkin.
Okay.
I wish I had invented it because she is a crap weasel. Okay. There's no other way around it. She plans to focus on Amy Coney Barrett's Christian beliefs. May I put on the table that focusing on one's Christian beliefs is against the Constitution, which has a specific prohibition on a religious test.
And it's against the law.
Well, yeah, if it's in the Constitution says you can't do it.
What we're going to have
that
potentially,
is the law.
Housing is going to become a right. Public college tuition is going to be free. Student loans are going to be forgiven. Healthcare is going to be Obamacare, and the costs are going to go through the roof. You're going to have commercial banking run by the post office and people who don't deserve to be getting loans. That will lead to taxpayer bailouts. You're going to have the Green New Deal. It was said by Christy Craddock, and I got to give a shout out to her for joining us on the show. California made cars illegal in 2035, oil and gas powered cars. You're going to have America as we know it. The soul of America is on the ballot.
Yeah, and the Nixon, after they give statehood to D.C. and to Puerto Rico, they can also bring in Venezuela because we'll be just about like
I'm telling you, Lynn, Americans have been keeping their mouth shut, but they're about to vote this fall, I think.
Well, they are. All right. Well, everybody on Facebook watching us, everybody live on stream on KJCE, on KSEV, thank you so much for being with us. Lynn Woolley here, the Secretary of Logic, saying, be logical, everybody. Take a stand for this country. Say a prayer for Rush Limbaugh. He needs it right now. God bless President Trump. You're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle with Lynn Woolley. Thanks for joining us, folks. Have a great week. We'll talk about the debate next week. Woo!
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.